Check, check, mic check. It's not a Monday, but close enough. Apologies for being on break for a while there. We went to All-Star Weekend. We had every intention of podcasting from Indiana, but it just got way busier than I ever imagined. I'd been to a few All-Star Weekends in the past. I thought that, you know, I was ready in terms of workload, managing it with jet lag, fatigue, and everything else that was happening. Turns out, snow in my face, and I think they call it a flurry of snow. A couple of inches of snow falling, just the coldest temperatures I've personally, as a tropical boy, ever been in. Apparently those things were going to impact me much more significantly than I thought. Really took a whole lot out of me while I was there. Add to that the fact that it was, without question, the busiest, most jam-packed All-Star Weekend, All-Star Week that has ever been. Indiana showed up. Indianapolis was dressed to the nines, and there was something happening just, you know, everywhere you looked. That was a big reason why we chose to kind of save some of the stuff and put it out onto the podcast a little later. We have some programming announcements on the podcast coming up in a little bit. But that's the reason why that first week we didn't podcast. We were supposed to podcast the next Monday, but then I attended a wedding. I was out of town. And as soon as I decided to follow to the wedding, I knew the podcast was going to have to take a little bit of a personal break. It was going to have to give me some personal time. But we're back now. We're back now. If you're new to it, welcome, folks. This is the Call to Arms podcast. My name is Nico Ramos. Every week, we hand out a Call to Arms basketball championship belt. That is the first order of business on the pod today. But as the title suggests, you will be hearing a lot of content from All-Star, a lot of interviews from All-Star. I'm including in this episode, I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 5 clips, some of them shorter, some of them a little bit longer. Some of them you'd already seen, had gone online. We had posted them either on my channel or on Slam Philippines channel or on the NBA Asia pages, and some, you know, a couple in particular were very, very happy to have gone pretty much viral all over the place. We'll talk about all those things in just a second. This is also a mailbag episode, so what I'll do throughout the episode is I'll answer some questions, and some of the answers to those questions actually have like video examples to kind of walk you through just a behind the scenes look at All-Star. All that is happening on this podcast. But first off, the basketball championship belt. The week that we took off, I think Sabrina Ionescu definitely would have taken the belt that week. So we're throwing one 2 weeks back. So she had the title when she went up against Steph, had 26 in the Steph versus Sabrina shootout, which is, as everybody knows, the same amount of points that Damian Lillard scored to win the NBA three-point shootout on the same night. So shout outs to Sabrina. A quick programming announcement. We actually have an exclusive one-on-one with Sabrina Ionescu coming up here on the podcast, I think in about a week and a half. So we'll be able to put that out in a week and a half. Sabrina plus some of the WNBA's brightest stars at Indianapolis. We were able to sit down with them one-on-one. It was really one of the highlights of my weekend. I'll talk more about that when the episode comes out. But please do watch out for our exclusive with Sabrina. We were able to talk to her twice, once during Thursday before all the craziness went down. But even then, the backstory behind getting that interview is crazy on its own. And then immediately, right after the shootout, we were in the press room. We were front row for Steph and Sabrina, and we were able to talk to her again. Plus, again, as I said, some of the brightest stars in the WNBA will be talking to them in an upcoming episode of the Call to Arms podcast. That's coming up very soon. But 2 weeks ago, Sabrina would have taken the championship belt. Easy, no problem. No contention there. Last week, had we done the podcast last week, I think we would have handed out the championship belt to Coach Tim Cohn, just, you know, really taking command of the Gilas program, opening up a new chapter, a new era of the Gilas program. Ballsy call to just have a very, very short pool of players that he wants to work with and continue to work with into the immediate and I guess semi-long-term future of the Gilas program. Wish Coach Tim all the best. He's been on this podcast multiple times. We'd love to have him on again now in his new role as head coach, so watch out for that. But for this week, the Call to Arms Basketball Championship belt, I know that they say that they don't like breaking records because every time they break a record, they seem to lose. Sorry about that, Lakers, but you got to give it to LeBron. 40,000 points, LeBron James. Someone did the math on it about how many points per game someone would have to do for a 20-year career playing all 82 games. I think it had to be like 23 points. I'm going to do the math right now just to show you guys how many points that is. 40,000 divided by 82. 87 divided by 20. You'd have to average 24.4 points per game over a 20-year career for 20 years. So 24.4 points per game playing all 82 games of a 20-year career for you to get to 40,000 points. That is obscene numbers, just to kind of put it in perspective. And again, a little context behind the record, these are regular season points. LeBron actually has 48,000+ points if you include the playoffs. Why they don't count them, I don't know. But this is the math of it, ain't mathin', to just kind of paint a picture as to how hard 40,000 points in a single career is, 40,000 regular season points. So much so that, you know, the best, most prolific shooter in history, Steph Curry, as great as he is, he's not going to be able to get to 40,000 points, just missed too many games, especially earlier on in his career, and was not as prolific because of injuries early on in his career. Someone like Luka, he's the best example I want to use because Luka started in the NBA very young. Luka had been productive to start his season, to start his career from the very first season, and you know, plays in a Luka-centric, heliocentric offense, has the ball so much, is wildly talented, is about as generational as you could get in terms of garden variety generational type players. He ain't gonna get there. Like, it's just not gonna, this is not a knock on Luka. I love Luka Doncic. I think he's one of the most talented players that has ever touched a basketball. He's not gonna get to 40,000 points. It's just a matter of just how effective you are, how stable, how dependable you are in terms of producing game in, game out, 82 games for as long as LeBron has been doing it. The longevity is something that's been used against him in this argument. I don't understand why, but 40,000 is obscene. Congratulations, LeBron. You are hoisting the Call to Arms Basketball Championship belt. Of all your accolades, of all the things that you've done in this career, I know that this one means the most to you. Honorable mention, Caitlin Clark was almost a two-time Call to Arms Championship belt holder because she broke the NCAA record. I love you, Caitlin. You know I love you. Congrats on the record. Good luck applying for the draft. I have a feeling you'll go very high, but the king has to take this one. All right, this is a mailbag episode, so I wanted to get to some of your questions and use that kind of like as a structure to answer your questions, but at the same time to roll some clips for you. We've got Wemby in this episode. We've got Bron. We've got Giannis. We've got my dear friend, my little big sister, Cassidy Hubberth. Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, they're all on this episode. Again, some of the clips you've heard already, but I'm here to give you the backstory behind each of those interactions. I posted up a prompt on Instagram, try to get you guys to ask some questions. We got a bunch, we'll only be able to answer a few. Okay, let's start with Bri the Bear Pug. Bri Bear the Pug. Was it an all-expense-paid trip? Yes and no, in a sense that it's a work trip. So my employers footed the bill, thankfully. But it is part of our longstanding partnership between Slam Philippines and the NBA. If you guys noticed or maybe gotten confused, I know I got confused and I get confused every year around February. As soon as we touch down in whatever city is hosting All-Star, I'm usually operating and moving around with a larger crew than who we fly out from the Philippines. This year is myself and the content lead over at SLAM, our associate director for content, John Rodriguez, who's a genius. I was so happy that he was with me for All-Star this year. So the two of us from the Philippines, we fly once we get to Indianapolis. We then kind of converge with a much, much larger team that does content for NBA Asia. So we have friends from the NBA. We have, in my opinion, the best production crew working in sports right now, led by Lachlan Ross and Ben Izzard from LGR Productions out of Australia. So we go around, we capture content, we do a lot of interviews. Some of it lives on SLAM, some of it lives on the NBA Philippines channels, some of it kind of gets elevated and lives just on a broader, just like NBA, whether it's social media or League Pass, the app, or other NBA properties. This year, we were able to do some very exciting stuff for the WNBA as well. So that's the dynamic. I guess that's the unique thing about my personal experience in terms of covering NBA All-Star. It's really, as a member of this larger team that does so many things all at once. And thankfully, no, outside of all of the merch that I buy for myself and stuff that I buy for my wife and my kid when I get home, those are the things that I pay for. But otherwise, it's a work trip. Mark Angelo asks, sneaker prep before heading to Indy. It's always tricky, right? You don't want to bring too many shoes. But for this year, I brought Air Jordan 1 Travis Scott's, the highs, the first ones. That really helped out, in the cold weather because they were high tops. I kind of felt bad a little bit walking around them in 2-3 inches of snow. Realized that was a mistake. I also brought the Gift of Mamba all black Kobe 4s. That was essentially kind of really my go around daily shoe, just because of the comfort of a Kobe. But also, I always like to bring a basketball shoe that kind of can double as a daily shoe, because you never know when you'll get a chance to play. And this year we did get a chance to play. Sunday Wash Club popped up. It is the unofficial media run based out of New York City. For the first time, the club left New York and popped up in Indianapolis at this place called The Church, which is an actual church, together with Venice Ball. And, it was a very, very exciting partnership, and I'm glad that I was able to get a run in. Did I play? Yes. Did I play well? Absolutely not. Let's not talk about it anymore. And then I brought a pair of running shoes. I just brought a pair of just Nike Zoom running shoes just to wear on the plane. And I had intentions of kind of going to the gym and going out for a city run, but the cold, man, it bothered me anyway. It bothered me significantly. There was no running done. So that was the sneaker rotation. Rashid is asking, how monumental was it to finally meet Sabrina? She's got an aura about her, and I'll talk more about this in the upcoming episode, the Sabrina episode, but full-fledged superstar is what Sabrina Ionescu is. There's just a light around her when she walks. She parts the Red Sea, in a weekend celebrating the biggest NBA stars in the world. Sabrina Ionescu is arguably the most in-demand interview all weekend, and for good reason. She's an absolute star. I'm still in this disbelief that we were able to get an interview with her. Let's see. Patrick is asking, what is your most memorable NBA All-Star experience? Apart from all the great things that happened this year, my very, very first All-Star was 2015 in New York City. And I remember being at like the media scrum, right, where they bring all the All-Stars and they all kind of have their own podiums. They just scattered all over the place. You've probably seen this, which is a good way to kind of lead into one of the conversations that we had. But throughout different points of All-Star Weekend, they'll take the Rising Stars, the West All-Stars, the East All-Stars, the Saturday night participants and things like that, and they bring them to what's called media availability. It's this massive ballroom, usually, sometimes a court, and everybody gets their own table. Everybody gets their own podium. It's this elevated platform where they sit, there's a table, their name's on there, there's a microphone. And it's a madhouse. It is a free-for-all. Every journalist, pretty much, is there just almost elbowing each other, right? Just trying to get in position. We're all yelling at the top of our lungs, trying to get questions and things like that. My very first one, I was so tentative. I was so nervous. I felt so out of place. I really did not know what I was doing, but I was there. And this is this just goes to show you how starstruck I was. I saw Mike Wilbon talking to Kristen Ledlow. And I've been such a big fan of both of those people for so long that I just stood there and I was looking at them, not at the players. I couldn't even process being starstruck by the players because I was already starstruck by journalists, right? People who are technically my peers, but I mean, come on, let's be honest. Mike Wilbon, he has no peers. But I was staring at Mike Wilbon talking to Kristen Ledlow. They were about maybe 10 feet away from me and I was contemplating, should I go up? Should I introduce myself? Should I ask for a photo? I really wanted a photo. You know, shake their hand, tell them how big of a fan I was. But I was balancing that with, but you know, come on, man, be a pro. Act like you've been here before. Anyway, I'm standing there in the middle of like this madhouse of people just running all over the place, yelling, asking questions to whoever, just, you know, talking and stepping on top of each other. And then I'm apparently in the way, like I'm literally in the way of just this parade of people that's passing by, and I get bumped, right? You know, someone bumps me. It wasn't on purpose, but I was in the way. And then I kind of just, you know, I get knocked over by about three or four steps, and I realize it was very big, giant man. It was a bouncer or security person that kind of gently nudged me out of the way. And then immediately as that happened, I hear just this deep baritone of a voice go, "Yo, yo, don't push people." And it was LeBron James. Apparently, LeBron was walking by. I was in the way. I shouldn't have been in the way. This is completely my fault. And the security person was just, you know, doing his job, just trying to clear the way for LeBron. And then kind of LeBron kind of looked at me and, you know, said, "You good?" While he was walking, like he doesn't stop, like, you know, he doesn't engage in conversation or whatever. He just didn't like that, you know. I think in his mind, I looked like a 14-year-old boy to him who was lost. And then I didn't respond. I just looked at him. I just stared. Then he just walked on by. That was my introduction into All-Star Weekend. And I've tried my best to be as ready as possible and not as starstruck ever since then. All right. I talked about the media scrum. That's a good time for us to roll out one interview it's not really an interview, one question that we had posed to someone at All-Star Weekend that we hadn't posted yet. It's with Victor Wembanyama. So a couple of opportunities to speak to Victor. One was at his solo press conference, and I'll talk about how those solo press conferences work in a little bit, but I was not selected to ask him a question at the solo press conference, despite me raising my hand as many times as I could. But right after their team got eliminated at the Rising Stars, I tried again. That was Friday. I tried again to kind of get him on his solo press conference was Friday morning, if I'm not mistaken. And then I tried to get... they brought him into a scrum, into the mix zone, into like a media availability. He was on a chair and journalists were all around him. I tried to ask a question after Rising Stars, was not picked, was not selected didn't get a chance to ask anything. Thankfully, Victor was very active this year at All-Star, and he also participated in the skills competition where Anthony Edwards famously shot left-handed, and I don't think Victor was too happy about that. And then, yeah, this time I was able to get a good spot right next to him. The podium wasn't elevated, so we were actually like on the same level. He was sitting down, and I was able to ask him about what it means to be a Spur, and here's that question.
Victor. Victor, a lot was said about you being a Spurs fan coming into the draft, and pictures from your childhood wearing a Spurs jersey. You're a full-blown Spur now, half a season in. Can you reflect on what it means and, you know, carrying the torch and the culture of that franchise in the city?
Yeah, I mean, being a Spurs hits you, you know, have to have standards, you know, because the main thing, you know, the Spurs, they get good players, but first of all, what matters most is to be a good person, you know, because this is why in the history all the guys are, you know, are still around the team, helping the team. So this is these are values that I like, and that I feel, that I can compare to. You know. So it's really the best place for me. I mean, I've said it over and over. I know it's. I couldn't dream of being in a better place.
Victor.
All right. Let's talk about media scrums. The hardest person, because some players they don't sit in media scrums anymore, right? They don't sit in the free for all. They just do solo press conferences, right? Steph, LeBron, KD, Giannis, these guys, and in this case, Tyrese Halliburton, because he was the hometown guy for this year. They don't do media scrums. They don't put them there. They just put them in the solo press conferences. And again, more on that in a little bit. But the person that left kind of like the most in-demand interview to be Anthony Edwards. Everybody wanted to get an interview. Everybody wanted to get a question in on Anthony Edwards, because I think everybody has a common sentiment around Ant that, you know, he's it. Like, he is the next big star of the NBA. And it's very clear, right? I mean, the game speaks for itself, but also the way he carries himself, the aura, right? The charismatic answers, anything that, you know, you pose the right question, it piques his interest. You never know what he'll say. It might just do very, very well for you and your media outlet, which is what happened. Famously, we asked everybody, we asked all the All-Stars during one of the media scrums. This was Saturday morning. In the middle of All-Star practice, they'll bring in the West team first, and then the West team will practice. The West team will do media. While the West team is doing media, the East team is practicing. And then after that, the East team comes in, they take their spots, and they do media. So when the West team was coming in, we really wanted to get questions to, you know, everybody. This is a challenge of working press at All-Star Media. You have to pick. You have to choose. There's almost no certain way, unless you're ESPN and you have committed time with all of these athletes, you're going to be interviewing everyone, right? There's just no way. So you have to prioritize, right? Prioritize who you want to talk to. You're going to have to sacrifice some players that, you know, you're just not going to have the time to talk to. And you just try to get as many as you can from your priority list. Anthony Edwards was at the top of our list. We were also able to ask Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, kind of like the same question, right? Like, what's the most ridiculous basketball scene you've ever seen in a movie or TV? Book said all of Winning Time. I wasn't able to get a follow-up question. I was so shocked by his answer. I thought it was a dig. Now, kind of looking back on it, I'm not sure if he just meant, like, you know, it was ridiculously well done. I don't think so. Karl-Anthony Towns said, like, this Bollywood movie that he saw kind of really gave him a laugh. And famously, Anthony Edwards talked about High School Musical. The great thing, the fortunate thing, this is all 100% luck and, I guess, a commitment to being there and showing up on time and, you know, having a sense for what might be a story, regardless of how silly it is. After the media scrums, we went over to the press conference area, which was on the other side of the stadium, for the one-on-ones there. And Tyrese Halliburton was there. I was able to be picked to ask Tyrese a question. It was the last question for Tyrese. Last question at the press conference is going to be a theme throughout this podcast episode. It was a theme all throughout All-Star Weekend. But yeah, Tyrese was there, and, you know, I was like, hey, you know what? Let's ask him the same thing. So, you know, he cited this ridiculous commercial, which we've all seen. And then I just felt like doing a follow-up based off of what Anthony Edwards said. I asked him if, for context, you know, Tyrese Haliburton in a prior question talked about being at the film premiere of the Dream Team documentary with D-Wade. He was invited by D-Wade. So I asked him, you know, hey, Anthony Edwards says he wants to be in High School Musical. Will you be at that premiere? And then he says he'd be Chad. And then Saturday night, after we spoke to Victor, we jumped over a couple tables down and we talked to Anthony Edwards after they were eliminated from the skills competition. And I asked him about what I asked Tyrese, about what I asked Ant. And that kind of brings the whole thing together. So a little behind the scenes look at what was a kind of viral moment around NBA media outlets. It's been picked up by everyone. You know, we saw it on Shea Serrano's podcast with Jason Concepcion. We saw it on NBA Countdown. You know, it's been talked about quite a bunch on many other outlets. And if ever, Mr. Edwards, you do get a High School Musical movie, you're welcome. I will take a producer credit. You're very welcome. And I hope this means we're now friends.
And you've been in a basketball movie now. What's the most ridiculous basketball scene you've ever seen, movie or TV?
The scene, most ridiculous scene, I probably have to go with, I like High School Musical for some reason, Troy Bolton.
You like it?
Yeah.
You like it as the most ridiculous one, or you just like it, meaning
like
you
scene,
like watching it?
You know, they put it together, it was pretty dope. I like that movie.
You be in a remake?
I actually would, for sure.
Hey, Therese, we're asking all the All-Stars what you think is the most ridiculous basketball scene in a movie or TV show.
Like bad or good?
Bad. Let's go bad.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I mean, have you ever seen that commercial where the dude goes to the ref and says, like, coach, I touched this, their ball, and then the ref switches the call? Terrible. I don't know what brand that was, but that was awful.
Also, Anthony Edwards says he would 100% play Troy Bolton in a High School Musical remake. Would you be at that premiere?
Yeah, for sure. I would. I'll be Chad. I'll be the sidekick. Me and Ann. Disney wants to rock with us. I'm sure we'd be down. We could do it.
Thank you, Tyrese.
Perfect.
And earlier today, you said that you'd gladly play Troy Bolton in the High School Musical remake. I asked Tyrese Haliburton about that, and he said he'd gladly play Chad, the sidekick. So Disney cut the check.
They got a 1-2 punch. They got to figure it out. They got to come get us.
Thanks, Ant.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Ant.
Okay, we have three more clips. This next one is a bit of a longer discussion. I'm happy and I'm proud to be able to share with you guys. We have LeBron and we have Giannis at the end of the episode. You guys have heard and probably seen those questions and those short, very, very short conversations. I'll give more context to what happened behind the scenes there. But this one was important to me because I really wanted to touch base and connect with my great friend. I call her my big little sister because that's essentially what she's been to me the last few years or so. We've had a great connection. Miss Cassidy Hubberth, who I co-hosted a great podcast called Hoops Paradise with. If you guys haven't heard it, please do jump on over and search Hoops Paradise wherever you get your podcasts and listen to it. Our little love letter and history lesson around basketball in the Philippines and the NBA love in the Philippines. But we tracked Cassidy down at Lucas Oil Stadium, which is the football arena of the Indianapolis Colts that was also used as an NBA All-Star venue. That's where they put up the LED court for Saturday night, for Friday and Saturday night, for the celebrity game on Friday and All-Star Saturday. So we were there Thursday evening, and I don't know how or why they let us inside, but they did, thankfully. And we were able to see the LED courts before anybody else, right? And, you know, we were shooting it and we were actually told, hey, don't post that yet. You know, that's still under embargo. There's a surprise coming for that. But, you know, we were able to sit on the side, talk to Cassidy a little bit, reflect a little bit on the basketball season that's going on so far. We looked ahead to the rest of the weekend that was about to unfold. And we started our campaign to get Manny Pacquiao in the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think this is an original idea. I think people have tried before. I think Manny had been possibly preoccupied with other endeavors that he had tried to pursue in the past, among them being a lawmaker and a presidential candidate. Right now, I know he's still a very busy man, but All-Star next year is in San Francisco. A lot of Filipinos there. Manny has great ties to Filipinos everywhere, especially in the West Coast where he trains in California. You know, why not? Manny to the All-Star game. Here's our conversation with Cassidy Hubbard.
We're in Indianapolis where all the All-Stars are supposed to be, but the biggest one is right here.
Stop.
Filipino pride is Cassidy Hubbard. Cass, I know it's a busy weekend for you. Thanks for making time.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure to be back with my bro from another mother.
This is a family reunion that you guys are eavesdropping on. My little big sister is here, but talk to us about this NBA season. I mean, you more than anyone else has a better grasp of the storylines, the big games. You've been traveling all over the country, covering all these games, all these players. This one's shaping out to be a wild one.
It's been crazy. You know, I think the in-season tournament also has gotten people, like, obviously excited earlier than normal. Maybe a little bit more tired than normal, aka LeBron James and the Lakers. But it's I feel like the momentum has, you know, picked up, I think, now more than even like at post in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're heading into this All-Star break strong, and it's going to be a sprint to the finish. And you know, it's been a really interesting season. The stars have been starring, but I think it's everyone's guess as to who we're going to see. It's wide open. It really feels that way. We've seen some challenges from, you know, the top contenders, and like even the Celtics. There's something interesting about, you know, how they're developing all their talent, even though they've been consistent, how that's going to play out come playoff time, because I think this is the year that they have to answer the bell.
Yeah. All-Star weekend is shaping up to be, it seems like we were talking about this last year in Utah, but bigger than ever. Indianapolis, I know it hasn't started yet. You know, everybody's rehearsing, everybody's getting ready. But from what I've seen so far, you know more than I do about the things that are top secret you can't share just yet. But Indianapolis is stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'm hosting the All-Star Celebrity Game. I think it's now my 9th or 10th year of hosting it. This is going to be unlike any All-Star Celebrity Game. I mean, I think we've seen some of the videos. We're inches away from the LED court that is not only going to be hosting the Celebrity Game, but also All-Star Saturday Night. I'm telling you, it's insane. I'm told there are close to 25 million LEDs in the court. It's just going to add in. Yes, I know.
Did you say million?
Yes, million. It's just going to add just another layer that I don't think people can fully comprehend. This whole weekend is about entertainment. It's about celebrating our elite talent in the NBA. And I think just the NBA knows how to entertain. And this is just setting a whole new bar that I don't know if people really can grasp that this may be the future of where our game is going. And it's going to be really cool. So I hope you guys all watch.
I'm so excited. The Celebrity Game, I know that you've been holding it down, as you said, almost a decade now of hosting it. But unless you choose to come out of retirement and suit up for the next one, we got to get a Filipino in the game.
Yeah, I know.
Who do I have to talk to in the
NBA? Because I was straight tearing ACL. We already know this.
Who do I talk to the NBA to say that, yo, if you tell Manny Pacquiao that he can play, he'll be here in a second. That guy's never passed up a basketball.
Trust.
Again.
No, you don't think there's been an invite? I mean, like, NBA mics, let's get it going. You are the one who could probably put in the request. I think that's just channels.
To play? Oh, hell no. Me play?
No. Pac-Man to play.
Thank you. All right,
can play too.
No, absolutely not. I'm happy sitting here watching you host.
I'm just saying.
And then hopefully see someone, Manny or not, just wave the flag for us at the Celebrity Game.
There's still time. You made it here. There's still time. Let's get Manny Pacquiao in this game. Maybe next year in San Fran, you know, because we all know that San Francisco has a very big Filipino population. Oh,
no,
so
that's Manila extension.
Right, exactly. So it kind of seems like the perfect. We are starting this right now. Manny Pacquiao, All-Star Celebrity Game, 2025. Wait.
This is a thing now.
Yes.
This is
a thing. We've made it a thing. If anyone can make it a thing, it's me and you, right?
Absolutely. The NBA is officially represented. The Filipino people are officially represented in the league by Cassidy Hubbard.
Yes.
As her unofficial agent.
Yes.
I am here to say that we have now co-signed and moved a petition to get a Filipino in next year's celebrity game.
Manny Pacquiao specifically.
Can you imagine his jump shot?
I'll also take Olivia Rodrigo, too.
Reclaim her. Right. Like Nicole Scherzinger is like 1/16th, I think. If
right,
she wants
right.
to come
no,
out
yeah,
for it,
Scherzinger.
Like, we'll claim her. No
exactly.
problem. We'll take her. Hey, Pablo
no,
Curry.
But,
you want to play?
But Manny Pacquiao, I think, is attainable. Let's do it.
Yeah. He's a megastar.
Yeah. It makes sense. He loves playing basketball. Didn't he insert himself into the PBA?
We weren't planning on doing this, but we've now officially started a movement. There's a lot of stuff that you have to prepare for. For everybody who's watching this, we're pulling you out of rehearsal, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But when it comes to All-Star Weekend, and I know that the celebrity game is something near and dear to your heart, but is there a specific thing this weekend that you're excited about and the fan in you is like, I can't wait to watch this?
Jaylen Brown starting a movement of his own.
Okay.
Trying to get elite all-star max players back in the dunk contest. We haven't had an all-star in the dunk contest since Dwight Howard in 2018. That seems a little too soon. So whenever the Dwight Howard was last in the dunk contest. Yes, we need more all-stars in the dunk contest. And he said, that's what I grew up watching. That's what I love to see. And I want to see it, so the only way to get it done is if I do it. And I want him, because of that, I want him to win.
You know what? For context, the last time an All-Star has been in the dunk contest, as you said, is Dwight Howard. The last team that Dwight Howard has played for is a team out of the Philippines.
There
you go. That should tell you how long it's been since we've had an All-Star in the dunk contest. Dwight's now playing for a Dubai tournament in the Philippines.
See, full circle.
Dwight. Yeah. He's now 1/16th Filipino, too.
Uh-huh.
So, JB, we're officially throwing our vote onto you. Good luck. Go do it. And then in true boxing style, just wrap it all up.
Okay.
I say Jaylen Brown wins and starts calling out people by name and be like, I'm coming back next year.
Right. Correct.
All-Star A.
Hold
All-Star
people
B,
accountable.
All-Star C.
Right.
I'm holding you to it. Are you going to show up or are you going to
I mean, he could look at his teammate, be like, hey, Jason, now it's on you. That's not gonna happen.
Hey, Ja Morant.
Ja Morant would be great. Get healthy though, Ja. Get healthy. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to the 3-point shooting contest between Steph and Sabrina. Something new. I think that will be really fun. I want to see how Sabrina reacts to these bright lights here on NBA All-Star Weekend.
I officially picked her. A big part of that was because she was 3 feet away.
Yes,
from me,
right.
Staring me eyeball to eyeball and asked me, who are you picking?
Right.
I was like, you, of course, Sabrina. All due respect to Steph.
Yes.
I won't put you on the spot, but I will say I'm excited to see that as well.
Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend. I mean, this is a celebration of the league we love. There's not many instances that we can get like this many of us together that love the game, that appreciate, what we get to be a part of. And this is just such a fun weekend. And, I'm excited for all of it, starting with the All-Star Celebrity Game on ESPN at 7 Eastern.
And as always, a big part of the game that we love to celebrate in the Philippines is watching you represent us. No one does it better. We appreciate you making time. And everybody who's watching this from back home loves you and can't wait for you to come home. We're going to shut down an avenue for the Cassidy Hubbard.
Yes.
Like, we're rolling down a parade.
I'm holding you to that because I'm planning the trip with the family. So,
okay, well, maybe Manny Pacquiao playing an All-Stars at the All-Star Game is a little bit more realistic than the actual parade.
Uh-huh.
We'll try our best.
A new campaign, not for Manny Pacquiao. Different style. But Manny Pacquiao 2025.
There you go. This might be a campaign you might actually win, Manny. All love to you. The one, the only. It's Cassidy Hubbard. Thank you very much, Cass.
No disrespect, champ.
We love you. We love you.
That's Cassidy Hubbard of ESPN. Cass, you're the best. Continue repping the Philippines and waving the flag. So incredibly proud of you. Watch Cassidy in, you know, on the sidelines of the biggest games of the rest of the NBA season and into the playoffs. All right. Last two stories, last two questions, I guess. We had a question from Sue. Sue over Instagram goes, tell us a story about the Giannis interview. Were you really planning to ask him about the shoes? So we had been running around at the end of Sunday night. So this is the tail end of the weekend. I am totally gassed, right? I am... Here's a podcast exclusive. I won't tell anyone. I'll tell you guys. Who cares? I was so tired. I was so physically exhausted because of the jet lag, the fatigue, just the mental kind of, I guess, challenge of trying to come up and maximize our time being at All-Star. Not to mention, you know, it's on Indianapolis is Easter time, so 13-hour difference with the Philippines. When we get back to the Philippines, when we get back to the hotel around midnight, 12:30, 1 a.m. usually, we would still be either editing some of the clips, some of the videos, and or interfacing with either Eno or Kobe or Melvin and the rest of our Slam team back in the Philippines, because it was, what, 12 noon, 1 p.m. where they were. So that would be a good time for us to meet and discuss, you know, the rest of our plans and kind of brief them. This is what we got. This is what, you know, we want to put out. So you don't really kind of get to bed till like maybe 3-4 in the morning. And then, you know, you're up again at 6:30, 7 for breakfast. And then, you know, it's another full day right after. So Sunday, I was dog tired. I was exhausted. I was disappointed because we weren't able to talk to LeBron. LeBron skipped media availability on Saturday. He skipped All-Star practice. And then it was announced that he was going to have media availability on Sunday. I'll get to more of the LeBron story in a little bit. But I was disappointed that, you know, we weren't able to talk to LeBron after having, in my opinion, a pretty cool exchange with him the year before. And I really wanted to follow up on it. So the second quarter of the All-Star game, I'll tell you right now, I was fighting my absolute best. I was fighting my body so hard to not pass out. I'm not here saying that, you know, I was in an Ironman or I was in a marathon doing something incredibly challenging. But, you know, my body was tapped out. Like, no more gas, no more anything. You know, I was sitting down with my head just like being supported by both my hands, just kind of keeping it up, propping it up. And, you know, I was really, really, really so close to just kind of like passing out, not just falling asleep, but like literally fainting and passing out. Again, am I being a baby? Probably. But that's how tired I was. So after the game, we were trying to get, you know, a little, you know, sound bite from some of the players again after the you know, at media availability at the mix zone where they all have their stools and things like that. And then at the solo press conference, I heard that Giannis was there. So someone had tipped me off, hey, Giannis is there. So I run over to the side and then, you know, we ask Giannis our question. And I didn't know what I was going to ask Giannis. I didn't plan on it. You know, he wasn't on... You try to be prepared for everybody, right? You want to be able to have something you want to ask everybody there. But I didn't really kind of have an idea what I wanted to talk about. But I guess my sneaker bias just kind of took over. And I really, really felt he had a compelling sneaker. I thought it was one of the more interesting, definitely the most personal sneaker story of All-Star. So I just wanted to give him a platform to talk about his shoe. I wanted to give him a platform to honor his brother, Thanasis, at All-Star Weekend on the biggest, you know, on the biggest non-playoff stage in the NBA. And, you know, he had a very, very thoughtful, incredibly inspiring answer. And I think what you would definitely experience if I could take all of you guys with me to any Giannis press conference is what you would realize very quickly is, you will run through a wall for Giannis Antetokounmpo. That man is 100% of the time, just 100 out of 100, incredibly inspiring. And this story is no different. So here it is.
Last one standing on your right.
Hi, Giannis. I think it's gone a little bit under the radar a little bit, but I feel it's one of the best sneaker stories that have been told in a really, really long time, talking about the Freak Fives that you wore as a tribute to Thanasis. I want to use this time to maybe give you the platform to talk about that story, the decision-making into putting that shoe, and, you know, just what that means to you to be able to honor your brother on a big stage like this.
I say this many times. If you could, like, you know, create the perfect brother, Thanasis will probably be that person. Like, he always, like, look after us, took care of us, been supportive of us, and he's always been there for not just me, for all of our brothers. Back in the day, my brother Thanasis, most of you guys know him, he went viral with the Sham God move, you know, the twin Sham God spin, lay. He was sharing shoes with me, and he shared the Kobe, I don't remember what number, Kobe 5, Kobe 6, something like that. It was the same colorway like the one I wore today. It was white and red. And I love them. And whenever he played, he'll take them off. Then he give it to me and allowed me to play. So we used to, like, share our shoes. And then in 2019 in Charlotte, I got exactly those shoes. And I wrote on the shoes, "Thanks to Ness for sharing." And I kind of paid tribute to him for, you know, sharing the shoes with me 10 years ago. He never thought I'm going to be an all-star or, you know, I'm going to be in the position that I am today. He was just doing it because he loved me, so I love him too. So I wanted to pay kind of respect for him. And, you know, when I work with, you know, companies, or I work with Nike specifically, I want my shoes, anything that comes out there, to have a story, to be authentic to me, something that people can relate to. I feel like I don't want to put out there stories about a shoe, about something that, I don't know, what's popular right now. Give me something that's popular right now. I don't know. FIFA. You just put a shoe out there. No, I want my shoes, all of my shoes that you have ever released, have a story, which most of the stories includes my family, because that's what I'm about. Everybody that knows me, I'm about my family. And today was the opportunity, you know, to wear them again with the Zoom Freak Fives, and I did. You know, so I hope he's proud. I hope he watched the game. And I hope, you know, how many points I got? 20 today? I got 20. I got them from him. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, let's end with a king. Let's end with a LeBron story. So as I said, Saturday, we're waiting for LeBron in the morning. I see, so there's flyers all around, right, in the back, right? There's flyers, they hand it out to all the media members, and it will tell you, it's a map, it's a visual guide for where all the players will be sitting at, right? Where all the players will be, and, you know, where the players will be holding their interviews, and which players will not be in the scrum, at media availability, where everyone is all at the same time, and which players will be having their solo press conferences. These two things happen at the same time, at different locations within the same stadium. So again, you're going to have to choose, right? In Araneta speak, think of it as one is closer to Red Gate and the other one's closer to Green Gate. You could get to both if you sprint, but yeah, it would require a sprint, and they're both happening at the same time. So it's Saturday morning. We're there for media availability. I'm really eager. You know, my number one priority is LeBron James. I just want to talk to LeBron James. I'm a LeBron guy. He's nearing 40,000 points. We had a great interaction, in my opinion, last year. I was able to get a great, again, in my opinion, you know, a pretty cool interaction with him in Charlotte in 2019. That too was a last question. In a media scrum. So I was like, you know, I want to keep my streak going, man. I want to be able to get LeBron. I look at the list. His name's not there. one of the people that's leading NBA logistics, who's a very sweet gentleman who I'd met years and years and years ago at a previous NBA event, and had kind of just stayed in touch with, we're friends on social media and stuff like that. I saw that, you know, he was the one that was taking care of, you know, these flyers, these seat assignments and things like that. So I came up to him and I said, hey, what time is LeBron arriving? Like, you know, where is he on the schedule? And then he said, you know, big guy's not here today. So I said, all right, cool. Not coming in today. This happened last year in Utah. He also was not there for All-Star Saturday due to a family emergency. That gave me the confidence now to chase after Anthony Edwards, to go and try to get a question to Book, to Karl-Anthony Towns, to Tyrese Halliburton, and everybody else that we were able to speak with, because I knew at the back of my mind I wasn't missing out on LeBron at the solo press conferences, right? So that was going to happen at a different time. The next morning, Sunday, I knew, right? Because again, this happened in Utah. They're going to announce it, right? Someone's going to announce it. Like, LeBron's going to get his own press conference. He has to do it. He is, you know, obliged to do it. Plus, you know, he's LeBron James, right? He's one of the best, most eloquent players in all of basketball ever, right? So he's going to do a press conference. So we're waiting and waiting and waiting. We're all part of an email blast from the NBA, you know, and they kind of let you know if there are any schedule changes, last minute additions and things like that. So that would be the primary method of communication to let us know that, you know, hey, LeBron's going to have a press conference. This is where it's going to be. This is what time. So all day, Sunday morning, like super early, we get to breakfast and we're just like, we're just prepped. We're just like ready to go. And then everything else that we have on the schedule, it's all put on tentative, right? Like if we're going to go and do this, we're going to go and go to this place, we're going to go interview this person, that person, whatever. If and only if it doesn't conflict with LeBron's press conference. Around maybe, I want to say like maybe 1 p.m., 1:30 p.m., I get a message from a friend that said, hey, LeBron's going to do his interview at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, which is the arena that the Pacers play in, and the press room, solo press conference at 4 p.m. And I'm like, cool, bet. At around 3 p.m., it's made official. The media notice gets out. The media, the PR people send out the email to all media. By the time it gets sent out, I'm already outside the arena, first in line, right? Myself and our entire team, we're there. We're first in line. We're ready to kind of be let in because, the press conference was scheduled for 4:30. Doors open to the media at 4. 3 p.m., we're there, we're waiting, right? All of our gear, it's snowing, it's cold, I don't care. We're there, front of the line. As soon as the door opens, we're first in the arena. I run straight to the front of the press conference area. We set up all our cameras in the most optimal angles. We get our gear, right? You know, I still have my coat on, everything. We get our spot, we reserve our spot. Then once we have all that, you know, take a breath, go to the restroom, take my coat off, put my stuff like on a work table and stuff like that. And I go back to my seat and then I wait for LeBron James. He comes exactly right on schedule, 4:30. And I'm there, I'm prepared. I'm locked in, right? I've psyched myself to ask this one question, the one question that I'm going to get. I don't get picked. Everybody is raising their hand. So the way it works is you raise your hand, right? But it's not to the athlete. There's a person off to the side that's handling. Sometimes it's NBA PR. Sometimes it's the team's PR team. They're the ones picking who gets to ask the questions. It would definitely help if you're a veteran, if you're someone that they see a lot, if you're someone that they have a personal relationship with. I completely understand that part. If I were in their position, that's who I would kind of pick to ask questions as well, because I trust that they're not going to ask, you know, bogus questions. I trust that they're not going to try to trap the athlete with some gotcha question or try to go for like some viral soundbite that's going to go out of context, right? So you're really rolling the dice and hoping against hope that, you know, you get picked. the press conference starts, the press conference finishes. We don't get picked for a question. And it's what you should expect, because being picked to ask a question is the exception, not the rule. But well, let me tell you, I was still pretty gutted about it. So disappointed. We had done everything right. We had prepared as best as you could prepare. We were there. We were first. We were early. We were set up. We had a game plan. We followed it. And, you know, just how the ball bounces. You did not get picked for the question. So that's the reason why during the game I was kind of disappointed. I was really beating myself up about it. I was trying to remind myself, you know, hey, it was a good weekend. You got a exclusive with Sabrina. We got the pretty fun Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton clip. You know, you talked to Victor. You know, all these things, right? We had talked to a whole lot of other athletes as well. You got some great stuff for NBA Asia, for Slam. You know, it's a good weekend. Like, you can go home, hold your head up high, be very proud. I thought we had a great coverage nonetheless. All those things were true, but I still wanted LeBron James. I said, well, on a LeBron question. I was so pissed during the game. After the game is done, I checked the schedule again. Scheduled to appear solo press conference. All-star MVP, whoever that was going to be, wound up being Dame. Most of the players at the media availability area, the media scrum that I talked about earlier. Tyrese Halliburton, who we already spoken with at the time, and Giannis. And, you know, that was it. So I was like, you know what? All right, let's just go and try to talk to Jalen Brunson, right? New York Knicks guy, lots of New York fans in the Philippines. We were able to, by the way, let's go talk to some of the other All-Stars, you know, get their thoughts on a record-breaking night, whatever. So we're there. We're off in the media scrum area. I go back to the work table, which is closer to the solo press conference area. I go back there because I had irresponsibly not brought an extra battery to the camera, and my battery was low. So I was disappointed in myself because I was missing out on interview time, but I had to reload the battery. So I run back, and as I'm running back, Colin, God bless him, who's our friend over at NBA Asia, Colin goes, "Hey, do you want to get LeBron?" And I go, "Oh no, like he's not scheduled to do a press conference." And Colin's like, "He's there right now." Apparently, after the game, LeBron just got convinced by someone, or out of his own volition, just said, "All right, I'll do one more press conference." He gets up on stage. This time, all the seats are taken. We don't have our front row seat. We don't have our optimal camera angle. I'm reloading the camera with a new battery. I'm wondering if we have card space, right? I'm so ill-prepared for this whole thing. The press conference is already ongoing, meaning people are being picked as we were speaking to ask questions. And I was there sitting, fumbling, just, you know, trying to make it to the end. And this was about as Hail Mary of a shot as you could possibly get. And I run over to the side, and the press conference has already been going for a few minutes. And I'm now standing off to the side where I preferably would have been sitting. Because if you're sitting, and you can hear it in my voice, if you're sitting, it's much, and singers will tell you maybe the opposite thing. I think it's easier to sing when you're standing. It's easier to ask NBA players questions when you're sitting down, because there's less of your body is moving. You don't have to kind of... You hear it in the voice, right? Your voice is less shaky. It helps you be less nervous and things like that. So I'm running. I'm panting. I'm catching my breath. I raise my hand up, just trying to get the person's attention and things like that. And I just don't know what's happening. I click record on the camera. I mount it on our little Lazada tripod. Yeah, the guy goes, "Last question," standing on the right, and someone from behind me hands me a microphone, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is it. What did we want to ask him again? And that's why if you listen very closely to the question, My voice is shaking because I'm catching my breath because I had just literally finished running to this spot, changing the battery, mounting the camera. I wasn't even sure if we got a good angle. And we asked LeBron a follow-up question 1 year after we asked him a question in Utah at last year's All-Star game, and the rest is history. A lot of it is, look, if you're not into like, you know, if you're not into like basketball media, if you have no aspirations to kind of work in this space, all of this is like, you don't care, right? You're saying, why make such a big deal over like one question? Get over yourself, bro. You're right. You're right. It's really not that big of a deal to most people in the world. To myself, however, and if you've listened this far, it means, you know, you kind of have some type of appreciation for it because you've done it before, some version of it before, you aspire to do it one day. Just giving you a little bit of a behind the scenes look of what it's like to actually be there, to actually do it. And I hope it's something that helps you, if you are an aspiring sports journalist, to kind of get you a better idea of how all these things happen. And hopefully it helps you in the future when it'll be your turn to do it. But yeah, so here is that out of breath question that we ask LeBron James.
Last question on the right side.
LeBron, Nico Ramos, Slam Philippines, and Titan out of Manila. We spoke this time last year, and you talked pretty eloquently about the common values that you have, one of the game's greats, with a young Filipino kid who's falling in love with basketball, maybe in a way that Filipinos very uniquely do. I wanted to talk about one of those values, the value of hope. You've been through a lot of adversities in your life, in your career. What helps you find silver linings? What helps you maintain hope? And also, how important is it to be a silver lining for people who need it?
I think, you know, for me, how I find a silver lining is also looking at just my upbringing and looking at now the kids that's in situations that I was in when I was younger, you know, trying to be an inspiration to them, letting them understand that there is a way out. And I was one of the kids that made it out, so it's my responsibility and my duty to let them know that, you know, no matter what you're going through, there is a path out, you know, and, you know, if you just commit to your dream and you can make that dream become a reality, you know, and I think that's what it's all about. You know, I've shared a great day, a great relationship with the Philippines and Titan, and, you know, us having that, you know, we share some of the same core values, and I've always respected that, even, you know, when I went over there and spent a lot of time in the Philippines and Manila. So, but sometimes that's all a kid has is hope, and that's okay. And as long as you don't give that up, don't ever give that up, because it's, you know, it's always brighter on the other side for sure.
That is it, folks. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're back again next week, and we're back again every Monday from this point forward. Our WNBA special is coming up later this month. Watch out for that one. Sabrina Ionescu and our exclusive with her at Indianapolis is going to be on that episode. We also linked up with a couple of very, very exciting people we met over at All-Star Weekend, and they will be appearing on the podcast soon. I don't want to jinx it, so I don't want to say the names yet, but I'm very, very excited for what's coming up on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. Hope you guys stay safe. Catch you guys again very, very soon. Peace.